Good morning.
Good morning.
I have a quick question for somebody. Larry, how many years have you been coming here? Back in the 80s, when most of these people were in their teens? No. Back in the 80s, so let's say that's about 30 plus years, almost 40 years, 35 maybe. Anyways, Larry and Debbie have a home that they've built in Arizona, right? And so this is Larry's last official Sunday here. Now you have to take that up with him outside. Now, Larry's got such a good heart, and he's not only super intelligent, but he's got such good wit, and we're gonna miss that. But we know you'll be in and out as you come back to Kalinga. So we wish you and Debbie the best, and hope you have just a whole new chapter of just rich spiritual blessing with your new church and your new friends and neighbors over there. So we love you. We're going to miss not seeing you back there. So, all right. I had to say that because we love and care about Larry and Debbie.
So everybody give a great big kiss and hug.
You all take that outside. Sorry. Okay. Let's just go to the Lord in prayer. Father, I want to thank you for this morning. Thank you for each one here. Thank you for the continuing message series that we have this morning. I pray you bless everything involved in this message today. And I pray that people, all of us, will walk away, Father, hearing the specifics that you have for each of us to hear, that each and every one of us, I just pray this not in a generality, but very specifically, that each and every one of us will meet with you, that we will encounter you, that we will know your closeness and your presence and your voice speaking to our hearts, speaking in our ears. I pray you bless this. We ask it in the name of Jesus. Amen. So over the last couple of weeks, we've been talking about our new life in Christ. I mean, that's an exciting adventure. To follow Christ, our new life in Christ is what God wants us to experience. Jesus and his apostles taught us about biblical principles using illustrations. All through the New Testament, we see illustration after illustration after illustration of practical lifestyles being applied to spiritual truth. We saw these biblical principles and these illustrations, and they generated a God-given imagination to help us live our new life in Christ. And what I mean by that is that we begin to identify spiritual truth with imagination. So that's not like heaven. How do you view heaven? Or like Jesus, how do you identify with him now? Or like the promises of a new heaven and a new earth, how do you picture that in your mind, and what effect does that have on your life? Those type of things are illustrations or God-given imaginations. We also have evaluated the gap that so often stands between what biblical truth we've been taught and the reality we're living day to day. You and I know it's one thing to learn, it's another thing to apply. But the more we apply in faith and obedience to God, the more we grow in a deepening relationship with Jesus. And that's living the new life. That's what God has for us. We've also evaluated that if we're truly dying to self and letting Christ live through us. In other words, we've been challenged to look at ourselves and say, am I really living for Jesus? Is he really living through me? And to take an honest assessment of that. And if we do, we'll be able to see our life in relationship with Christ and where it's at. Jesus gave us an illustration, one that really, as a young Christian, this is one of the illustrations that stuck with me that I always thought was fascinating. It's the illustration of the vine, which is a picture of himself. Jesus is the vine, right? And you could say divine, but he's the vine, okay? And so he is the vine, and we are the branches. Now, this is simplistic. We understand the biblical concept of it, but we're going to look at it again this morning because it's essential to living the new life that God has for each one of us to live in him. In John 15, 1 through 4, it says, I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. You are already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you. Abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. We have to ask ourselves, what does God consider to be fruit? How is it that we already have been made clean? And what does God want to do in and through our lives? And we're going to look at some basic principles to those questions. What is the fruit that God wants us to see? We know we're already saved. Our sins are forgiven. We've been made clean. But we can't bear fruit outside of Christ. What does that mean? Jesus tells us that our relationship with him is like the branches in the vine. You know, and you and I know in clear view, if you walk by a mulberry tree and you see one of the branches was broken for a while hanging there, it's dead. You know, cut it off, rip it off, or whatever the case is, because it's no longer connected to the source of that sap or that life. And so we see that, and we know that in this basic, clear Christian principle that Jesus gives us in this illustration. The branches are living and organic, but they are also dependent on a source other than themselves to sustain them. You hear that? The branches are dependent upon the source of the vine to sustain themselves. You and I are dependent upon Jesus to sustain our spiritual walk with Christ, to sustain that relationship that God wants us to have in him. And so the dependency has to be on him. Don was teasing me about the title of the message, Utterly Dependent. And what did you say?
It was a dairy farm message.
Yeah, and I said utterly dependent meant milkshake to me. But we have to be utterly dependent upon God. We have to be tapped into him. We have to know we're in him, but we have to consciously, earnestly focus and tapping in and holding on to him, being close to Jesus. That's what he wants us to do, because he wants us to know him and to live that new life in him. And so you and I, as believers in Christ, have been grafted into the vine. We're part of him. And our very nature has begun to change. When we receive Christ as our Savior, your nature and my nature in Christ Jesus begins to change us. I mentioned last week, do we evaluate our lives? I try to evaluate every January if I've grown in the Lord. If I can look over the past year and see if I'm more in love with Jesus than I was before, if I've grown in more knowledge of him, or has he's impacted my life more. Now, I don't say that to point to myself, but I'm saying that as an evaluation to say, look, God intends that we are to be transformed into the image of his son, and God intends to change our very nature into his nature. And so we should be able to assess that and to see that as an ongoing principle in our Christian walk with Jesus. From the point we receive him until the point he takes us home, we should be able to identify with the fact that we're growing more in love with him and that our lives are changing to be more like him. The lifeblood of Christ, if you will, flows through us and gives us life. That's powerful. The Holy Spirit is that life flowing through us. And I mentioned last week that oftentimes we're content with being saved and the rivers of life are contained in our heart, but we block it up. We dam up the river and we keep the river from flowing out of our lives as God intends to live through us. So a branch is alive only when it is united to a vine. We have to intentionally be connected to God in our daily lives. You have to intentionally look to God and say, God, I'm focused on you. I'm desiring of you. I'm checking myself. I'm walking with you. I'm sensitive to you, dear Holy Spirit, when you convict or when you bless or how you lead or how I'm talking or whatever the case is. I'm in constant communion with you through the day. That's what God wants. That's a good place to be. In fact, that's a great place to be. Because our relationship with God and that sanctuary, if you will, that place that's set apart for God in our heart, to where we're walking through this world with that sense of being set apart for God, or having that sense of very genuine, not genuine is the word I'm looking for, but a very intense, joyful, personal walk with Jesus. That's what he wants for each and every one of us. Jesus tells us that his true vine, that he's the true vine, and that the only vine that can give us life and everlasting, I can't speak, everlasting significance and joy. You hear what I'm saying? If we're tapped into the vine intentionally, he's the only one that can give us everlasting significance and joy. Because what he does in our life, what fruit he produces through our life, affects us forever. And it glorifies him. It magnifies him. Sin is abiding in something other than Jesus. Tapping into other things for significance and joy rather than Jesus. So sin is abiding in something other than Jesus to give us a sense of life and sustenance. Satan will say, look, here's the sin. Don't listen to God because you know that's going to make you happy. But that's not the source of life that God wants us to live. He wants us to live intentionally tapped into him. Even though we're in him and he's in us, the imagery here, the imagination here that God has taught us with the vine and the branches is that we are connected with him on a day-by-day, ongoing basis that we can experience that life-flowing sap, if you will, that will sustain us in our life. In verse 4 and 5, it says, Jesus makes it clear that this is a relationship of utter dependency on him. We cannot live a new life in Christ without him. Therefore, we have to be utterly dependent on him every day. And I think that's where the conflict comes in. Our sinful nature, our pride, says, I don't want to be dependent on anyone. God says, I want you to be dependent upon me so you can experience the spiritual walk, relationship, and life that I want you to experience. And when I say spiritual, I'm not talking about mystical in that sense. I'm not talking about something intangible. I'm talking about seeing the very person and power of Jesus Christ himself in your life, working through your life in a way that will reveal him. In a way that we will recognize, wow, look what God is doing in and through my life as I see his power sustaining me and using me for his glory. I'm going to ask, where's little Tatum? Tatum? And where are the other kids? Hey, the kids on the back row, I'm not going to embarrass you, but if you want to come up with Tatum, I have a little illustration I want to do. Can you do that? Okay, now what I'm going to do here, you guys stand up here. I'm going to set this down here so it's on your level. Let's see. Each of you grab a side. We're uncovering this. Pick up that. Uncover. Okay, so what do we see? We see a lamp. Okay, now hang on there. Stay right there while I say just a word about this, okay? Now, you've asked Jesus to live in your heart. I hope. Jesus loves you. And he wants to come live in your heart. Always. Always. But if you're going to be able to be kids that tell others about Jesus and how much he loves not only you but them, you have to be connected to him. You have to be connected to him. And so, at school or at friends or at home or wherever you are, you might say, you know what, I know Jesus wouldn't want you to do that, right? Jesus would want you to do what's right, good, nice, right? Okay, so, somebody, would you mind turning on that lamp, please? Turn it on. Nope, turn again, just make sure. Go the other way. No, this way. Yeah, keep turning. Okay, let's not turn it on. How come it's not turning on? It's not plugged in. Duh, right? So, let's see. Would you take this, please? What's your name? Alicia, you take that thing. Be careful. Don't pull the lamp off the table. So plug this in here. And don't worry, it won't zip. Okay? Good job. You got that in there. It was all bent and everything. Good job. Okay, so now, Tatum, can you turn the switch? Turn one more time. Oh, there it is. Okay, so now we know that if we're going to be a light for Jesus, if people are going to see Jesus in us, right, we have to be connected. The lamp has to be connected to the power in order to turn on. If we're going to live for Jesus, we have to love Jesus with all that we are. Okay, we have to love Jesus. If Jesus, you love me, I want to love you and be what you want me to be. That way you can tell others about Jesus without a problem. You're talking to people through you. That's cool. Let Jesus talk to you. You want to turn off? Good job. Thank you, guys. Sit down. Don't trip on that. Appreciate your help. So we have to be connected to Jesus if we're going to shine for Christ. If we're going to be the light, Jesus said, we are the light, we are the salt, we already are what God wants us to be, but our response to him will determine whether or not we shine for him. And that's what God wants us to do. He wants us to become like that lamp, a shining light in a world of darkness. So, having said that, abiding in Jesus and being totally dependent on him takes effort and practice. Now hear that for a moment. Abiding in Jesus and being totally dependent on him takes effort and practice. That means every day we are making a decision to say, I want to follow you. I want to live for you. I'm going to put into practice the things that you teach me, not by my strength, but by your grace working through me. I'm going to rely on you to help me live the way you want me to. And so it takes an everyday effort and practice to do that. You know, it's like bending over to plug the lamp in. You know, there was an effort to make the connection that is needful there for us to be what God wants us to be. You know, how many of you play an instrument, musical instrument? You know, I can do this, but it wouldn't be true. I can, you know, pick and play, but not play. But let's say you're learning how to play the piano. You're going to first learn how to play the notes with one hand. And as you learn those notes, you might be able to play Twinkle, Twinkle, Little Star, you know. But then you're going to learn how to play with the other hand. And you're going to get those notes, and you learn the chords. And before you know it, through intentional practice, you're playing beautiful music. God wants us to understand that in order to abide in him, we have to intentionally practice walking with Jesus. Practice is not hypocritical or fake. Practice is simply saying, I'm going to make it a habit of my life to live for Jesus and to follow him. In 1 Peter 1:13, it says, therefore, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, and rest your hope fully upon the grace that is to be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Do we know what the word gird up means? It's an old term, but it used to be, you might even see it in some other countries in the world today when they're working out in the field and they have longer robes type of clothing, where they would reach down and grab the back hem of their robe and they'd pull it up between their knees and tuck it into their waist. And they got their clothes out of the way because they were getting ready to do work. And that's what God is telling us. He's telling us that, he says, through Peter, he says, therefore, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, and rest your hope fully upon the grace that is to be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. God will reveal himself. God will do his work. But we are to be determined to do, to practice, to live for God every day. As Christians, we need to prepare. And that word prepare here, again, is the same as that of girding up. We're preparing for the work. We're preparing our minds for action. And we should start our day seeking out God. How many of you start your day out seeking after God? Do you wake up in the morning and you say, good morning, Lord? Do you read your Bible? Yeah. I mean, even if I tell people, even new Christians, I say, look, you know, if you can just make a commitment to read one or two verses every morning, just get in the habit of starting to read God's Word. And I know many of you have morning devotions. I know many of you start your day out that way, and I know that because you do that, you know what your day is like when you don't start out the day with that focus on God. That's intentional. Psalm 27:8 says, when you said, seek my face, my heart said to you, your face, Lord, I will seek. What's the deal about seeking your face? Do I seek your face? You don't want to seek this face. What does it mean to seek one's face? It's to know the personal identification of the person. You've heard me say it. If none of us had our faces, our head on our shoulders, but we were just shoulders and a body down without the head, we wouldn't be able to identify each other clearly amongst the crowd. But when you know the face of an individual and you become close to them, you know them and you can identify them. And that's what Jesus is saying. Seek me personally is to seek his face. Focus on me all day. In order to prepare our minds for action, let's look at Psalm 1, 1 through 3. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the paths of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth its fruit in its season, whose leaf also shall not wither, and whatever he does shall prosper. Do you want everything you do to prosper for the glory of God? To bring fruit to God? To be purposeful for God and his glory? Yes, we should. As Christians, that's that imagery of the tree planted by the rivers of water, the roots going down. You ever see a canal or a pond or lake and the tree on the edge and the roots are going down in the water or under the surface and coming out the side into the water? It's just drinking up all that source of water, and it's flourishing, it's growing, it's producing. That's how God wants us to live as we tap into him intentionally, practicing our commitment to walk with Jesus every single day. In verses 2 and 3, it says that the one who meditates on God's word day and night will be blessed. Meditating. I used to watch some of the guys that were part of the Hare Krishna religion when I was growing up, and they would walk past the gas station I worked at, and they would walk in their stance of prayer, and they would walk meditating as they walked across the street or down the sidewalk. But God doesn't intend for us to walk like this all day, does he? But he does want us to be thinking about him, digesting his word, going through the day and saying, I remember what God said in his word when I read it today, or I heard in the message today, or something that God stirred in my heart that's there in front of my mind that I keep rehashing over and over and over again until I gain a greater understanding of what it is that God wants us to do. That's meditating. When we do that, day or night, you might wake up in the middle of the night and you say, why am I awake? Maybe God wants to tell you something. Maybe God will bring something to your mind to think about and to meditate on. But if we do these things, we'll be blessed. Reading our Bibles and meditating on the Word will bless us and create a desire in our heart every day to love Jesus more. You know why? Because when we're in his Word, we're focused on what he is, we're seeking him. I'm reading God's Word, not just to read his Word, but because I want to hear from God. I want to know that time, that moment of blessing with him. And as we do that and think about his word, we're blessed by it. And whenever we're blessed, we want more blessings, right? And so we pursue that. And that's what begins to develop. The Holy Spirit lives in us. It's the same Holy Spirit that inspired the writers of the Bible to write God's word. The very Holy Spirit that was sent on the day of Pentecost is the very same Holy Spirit that indwells you and I. God wants to reveal truth to us. Whenever we gain spiritual insight, it's because God has revealed it to us, because without him, we cannot receive it. And so, hey, I want to learn more insight about Jesus. So be in the Word. Meditate on it. Seek out God. Intentionally, purposely, practice a commitment in following God every day. It's not always easy to do that, is it? I mean, everything can get in our way so easily. Our schedules can get in our way. The things we've got to do. Our mind begins to flood with all these different distractions. But it's the commitment that says, okay, Lord, I want a moment with you to start out with. Christ will actively speak to us through his living word. That's why I love it when God's word is called the living word. Example of this, I'm sure all of you know this as Christians. I read that verse for 20 years and I never saw that before. That's because it's the living word. God reveals to us what he wants at the appropriate time. And so as we read his word and we meditate on his word, we abide in Christ, and that's the best way to live. In fact, like Moses in the burning bush, God spoke to Moses through the burning bush. The bush was not consumed. It was the power of God using the instrument of the bush to talk to Moses. So when we're in his word and we're meditating on his word and we're attentive on him intentionally, it's like standing before our own burning bush. So not only do we read, but we meditate, but we also pray. Praying is essential to being tapped into that vine intentionally. Look, the message is saying, God is saying, I'm the vine, you're the branch. Don't be cut from the vine. Don't allow yourselves to get distracted and not be connected into the source of the life that I want you to live. You have to intentionally practice and develop a habit of following me. And so in order to be even that much closer to God, we've got to be in prayer. We've got to learn to talk to God all the time. Luke 18:1 says that men always ought to pray and not lose heart. I love the fact that it says that men always ought to pray, but the part that really hits me is and not lose heart. A lot of times people go to God in prayer because they're hurting, because something's going on in their life, and they say, I need to talk to God. But God is saying, look, you talk to me, and I'll give you the encouragement and comfort and the peace that passes all understanding as we rely on him. Being in Christ, having him in us, changes how we pray. Instead of being religious and rhetorical, we pray from the heart, right? In Psalm 145:18, it says, the Lord is near to all who call upon him, to all who call upon him in truth. God is near to us. He draws closer to us when we desire to be closer to him. That's a principle that he's trying to teach us. Prayer to God is like a conversation that husbands and wives have in their marriage. Who do you talk to the most intimately with? Your spouse. If you have a good marriage, you have an intimate communion or conversation with each other. You both know each other and talk to each other about things that you wouldn't talk about with anybody else. That's what God wants with us and him, that type of conversation. And that conversation with God is vital to helping us to remain in Christ. Not talking about salvation security, I'm talking about walking in Christ every day. That prayer, that communion with him is essential. Conversation with God throughout the day, not just in times of dire need, is how we abide in him. Abiding in Christ, our vine, also comes when we worship him. Read your Bible, meditate, pray. These are things that are essential for us to abide in the vine. But there's one more element. It's worshiping him. Question, when do you worship God? Oh, every Sunday. No, that's a good place to worship. Corporate worship, that's great. But do we worship God on our own throughout each day or every day? Are there moments when the Spirit of God stirs your heart to worship him and give him thanks? Are there moments that the song might come on your heart that is a praise song or a contemporary song or a hymn or whatever that stirs your heart, that out of the blue you find yourself humming a song? That's the Holy Spirit stirring your heart to worship him. God wants us to worship him because we worship him. We're lifting him up. Our focus is that much more intent on him. We're that much more close to God. In Psalm 84:1-3, it says, how lonely is your tabernacle, O Lord of hosts. Now listen to this, because there's a strange dynamic to it. How lovely, not lonely, how lovely is your tabernacle, O Lord of hosts. My soul longs, yes, even faints for the courts of the Lord. David said, I love being in your house, right? My heart and my flesh cry out for the living God. I love being in your house. I love being in worship. I love being under your word. I love these times with you. Even the sparrow has found a home, and the swallow a nest for herself where she may lay her young. Even, and this is the part that's intriguing to me, even your altars, O Lord of hosts, my King and my God. Romans 12 tells us to be a living sacrifice. We lay ourselves down on the altar that God calls us to lay ourselves down on, giving our life to Him. It's when we come to God in that place where we are totally surrendered to Him, focused on Him, listening to Him, in communion with Him, all those things that we experience that place of worship. That can happen here. During the message, you can just have time, a moment where God, and I prayed earlier that we recognize God with us, recognize God speaking directly to us, or maybe God's just moving our heart to worship Him. It can happen in our prayer time. It can happen in our Bible reading time. It can happen in the middle of the day or throughout the day or the middle of the night without rhyme or reason. But those times of worship draw us closer to God and more in love with Him. And we should have, like David's heart, a desire to be in the courts of the Lord. And I used to think that was just this, you know, going to church. No, the courts of the Lord is where the Lord is. When we come into His presence, the Holy of Holies, that holy place where you and God stand alone and enjoy each other's presence. How cool is that? Absolutely cool. That's an extra special and awesome time, a blessing with Him, isn't it? When we experience those moments so intently with God. Learning to abide in Christ takes effort and practice on our part, but it's worth it. I mean, if you say, Lord, I'm a brand new Christian. Come up out of baptismal waters and say, I'm going to follow Jesus. I'm going to live. I ask them, do you want to follow Christ the rest of your life? Yes, I do. The intent is there. And many times the intent follows through in their walk and they grow. But there are also many times where the intent falls by the wayside. All of us have to intentionally practice walking and developing our habit and our relationship with Christ every single day. And if we do that, our life will change. Our perspectives will change. Our purpose and our identities in life will change. John 15, 4 and 5 says, abide in me, and I in you. That word abide in the Greek, menon, means to remain in. Abide in me, and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine. Neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me, and I in him, bears much fruit. You've heard that in John 15 here. It's important to God. It's evident that it's important to God that God wants to see us produce much fruit for our benefit and our joy and our fulfillment in life, but for God's glory as well, right? And so I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit, for without me you can do nothing. Abiding in Christ is what makes us able to bear much fruit. Now here's the question I ask. What is the fruit? Well, people do great work, do kind things, help people, do social outreach, all these. You can name a whole bunch of programs where people in the world do great things. You might say that that's fruit that God is referring to here. No, it's not. The church might have programs and all that stuff that are intended to be effective for God's kingdom work. But if our heart is not genuinely faithfully obedient to God with a joyful heart and doing what He calls us to do, we will not see the fruit that God intends for us to have. Put it another way, if we walk joyfully, committedly in the things that God has for each of us to do in Him, being connected to the vine will produce the growth, the branch. We are the branch in Him, but He wants to produce it, wants to develop it, right? And the fruit that will come will be the joy of being in Him, will produce the fruit that God wants to accomplish through your life and mine. That's what God wants. And it's only when our heart is right with God, joyful in God, and faithful to God, that God produces the fruit through us that brings Him glory. That's the much fruit that God wants to see in our lives, because it enriches us, blesses us, transforms us to be more like him, and it glorifies the Father. So Jesus used this imagery of the vine and the branches and the fruit to activate our imagination for his purpose. We see the picture of the vine and the branches. We've said it numerous times this morning. But Jesus used that image for the purpose of helping us to grab hold of what it means to be well connected with Jesus. And that's what he wants for us. So we're to keep the image God has provided for us about this, however we see it, and be focused on him and abide in him. Remember, you are utterly dependent on your union with Christ to be able to abide in him. Call out to him and ask him to help you abide. Read that again. Remember, you are utterly dependent on your union with Christ. We're saved and our intention to be connected, focused on Christ every day, to be able to abide in him. You are utterly dependent on your union with Christ to be able to abide in him. Call out to him and ask him to help you abide. If we ask God to help us abide in him, remain in him, stand in him, be focused on him, live for him, be close to him, commune with him, read his word, pray, meditate, worship him. If we ask God to develop those things in our life, he will not turn his back on us. He will give those things to us because that's what he's already told us in his word that he wants to accomplish in and through our lives. You know, this message I was thinking, how basic of a Christian principle is this? We've heard it, but how much and how important it is for us to be reminded to abide in the vine, that our relationship with Christ might grow deeper and richer in him. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, I want to thank you for each one here this morning. Help us to love you more, more and more. There's always, always, always room. We can never, ever accomplish loving you more. We can never, never accomplish knowing you more, understanding you more, being transformed in you more. We can never, ever be this side of heaven, everything you want us to be, but we are to pursue you intentionally, cling to you with all of our heart, our mind, our soul, and strength. We are to give ourselves over to you with all that we are in total sacrifice to you as a living sacrifice, that you might work through us the things that bring fruit in our lives that not only bless us, but glorify you. Do this work in our lives, Father. Help us to see each of our hearts just being closer to you this way. Help us to recognize the formative work of your hand producing fruit through us, that we will be that much more humble before you, that much more in love with you, that much more at all with you and our relationship with you. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you for joining us for the Word Infusion audio podcast. We would like to encourage you to do three things. First, please email us at thewordinfusion@mindspring.com and tell us how this podcast has ministered to you. Secondly, we would like to encourage you to join the Word Infusion Facebook page by clicking like at the top. This will provide you with announcements of podcasts, live online Bible studies, and live online discussions. We will also send you Bible verses. Lastly, we would like to encourage you to share this podcast and the Facebook page info with your friends, family, and church. Thank you once again for being with us. We look forward to hearing from you.